So here we are, January 5th. We are back. I can say back to normal because I don't know what normal was other than I was tired and hurting and yawning. My yawnings are back. Haven't yawned like that since you know, I started this thing. So it's Sunday night, and I didn't expect many to be here tonight. Sunday night's kind of drizzled away, my fault, totally. And we'll get back to Drew. Thanks to Mark for filling in all those weeks. Months, probably, if I remember correctly. So I'm speaking here tonight knowing, hoping, that my web family that's out there will listen to this one eventually. And it won't be long because I have nothing planned other than things I've just jotted down in the last month or two to talk about someday or another. You know, it's an interesting thing since I started doing this preaching, teaching thing back in, I don't know, whenever it was, Mark, 2000. We did the Y2K thing in Washington, so it would have been 1998, 99, somewhere in there. Anyway, and we have peaked with a number of people. Had major big numbers. Remember when I... Oh, good old Dr. Sam is here tonight. Good to see you there, Sam, or good to hear that you're there. Now, Gary and Joyce, when you guys pop on, I know Oregon can still be chilly. I know it's the Northwest and all, but now when Sam pops on, then I realize that I can say things like this. Like right now, I came over to the school. I mean, there are these people that traveled across the prairie in the winters and lived out in the prairies in the wintertime in this kind of weather. And I barely made it from the house to the school, which is only one house lot and a parking lot away. And I've started to walk because, A, if you leave your car, we have our cars plugged in the garage so they warm up quickly when we drive. But if I bring them over to 75 degrees, yes, that is that's nice. That is 75, with 75, it'll be 85, 90-some degrees warmer than we are. And if we're going the wind, right now we're at minus 17, and our wind thrill, I call them a wind thrill, is a minus 42. And I tell you, when you walk outside, they give you just a couple minutes for your skin to actually freeze if you leave it bare. And it's not the temperature. The temperature is 17 below. That's cold, but, you know, that's survivable. Well, if your car breaks down and you go for a walk, you're dead out here because it wouldn't get to a fark enough. But 42 below, the skin just starts crisping right off the bat. The wind chill, that's just the wind hits in the skin, in the face. Otherwise, the 42 below wind chill doesn't really affect anything other than 17 below. Still, 42 below in the wind is still pretty nippy. So anyway, I'm just kind of winging it here tonight because I knew we'd be down on crowd. I'm going to try to get the crowd back. And like I was saying, it goes back to 2007 or 8 or 9, something like that. We started doing the website. And a lot of people have gotten disgusted with Pal Talk. And I understand totally. For one thing, it's a dumpy place. I'd just support them with anything. That's all we've ever found so far. But I've still got our web list is down, but... some people get onto the Paul groups, the other kind of Paul groups or whatever. I don't know what it is. But I do feel better. I feel much better. The last 3 days I've been feeling better and better and better. And I think it's because I read some of the side effects of some of the meds they still wanted me to take. And I said, you know, I just can't keep doing this. So I dropped a couple of them and they have, apparently that must have been what it was. So... and not to talk about me. I'll give you the last update, then people can go from there. I will try to get an MRI in yet, get some neck surgery. I've got some discs or whatever, or vertebrae, other crushed, curved, disintegrating, whatever. But I said the challenge for that doctor is not to fix my neck, it's to get me in that MRI. The last time I had to do the MRI for the back, they finally had to put me feet first and keep my head out, out. Their meds weren't doing that. They weren't knocking me out. I said, well, this time you're going to have to knock me out somehow because I'll never get my head in there. So I'm more concerned about that than I am the surgery. But we won't be doing the surgery till later. I just want to find out what's going on. Anyway, enough of that. some other things they're checking for, that sleep apnea stuff. And I said, listen, I don't buy that. I'm not going to do it. Guarantee you I could not sleep with a vacuum attached to my face. You know, there are those of you that can, and I marvel at that you can do that, but I just can't do that. So I tried some breathe rights the last 2 days. Boy, those helped a lot, because I do believe I have a deviated system. No, I don't think that's what that is. I do have a deviated system, but I think they call it something else. Yeah, there we go. Mark, I don't know how you can do that. I honestly don't. But I've always thought, if I just push on my cheek, right above the middle of my cheek, right by my my nose and my eyes, I can breathe fantastic. So then I've been told that if they go up your nose with an ice auger, that feels really great. So anyway, that's the status of me. My wife is doing better with her back. And for those of you that have helped, I've actually been able to pay for my medical bills. They're all paid up. Is that cool? Thank you so much for that. It was marvelous. And somebody did send a big check, and that's just, you know, I appreciate that immensely. We'll talk about that a little later here. So I've got pretty much what I see here. Here's my list. Is Andrea Argyle. I can't remember the name of the Argyle guy. We got Wild Dan. I think he's up in St. Cloud. Bob H., he's in California in the Modesto area. Canastoga Craig, a former friend. Still is, I mean. Clarence, you're up in, down in South Carolina. Garlic, he's down in the Philippines. We got Don. I can't remember where Don's from. I think he's in Texas. Eric and two Erics and Jeanette, who's still with us. She's been having some rough times as well. We got Gary H. and Gary M. I read these names for purpose here in a minute. We got Dan. Gunkles, haven't heard from Gunkles for quite a while. I hope somebody didn't get a hold of them with a bunch of false rumors and tales. Hugh and Mel will be here soon, they said. Joel and John. Julie, who travels the country quite a bit. She's from South Dakota. And she and her friends have been in on this thing for a while. Mark D. I think there's a Mark D. on here somewhere. There's a Mark W. in California, he and his wife. Noelia and Stephen, Mr. and Mrs. General there. Phil, a former teacher friend from New York. He still stays with us. It's odd because he's in a Baptist school and all. I don't understand that. But Phil, I'm glad you keep listening in or whatever. Rick Trout, his wife is doing much better. Remember they had an accident there a couple of years ago and nearly killed his wife. That was just really a real hard accident for them. They were driving their pickup and had the cruise control on, and it went into a hydroplaning, and I guess with cruise control you just try to fly, and they flew into the ditch, and pretty big serious accident there. We got some guy named Sam. He's a former submarine chief. And then we got Shane in the deep in the mountains of Idaho, and Sharon, who's up in Alaska, Stephen Z, and Victor, I can't remember their states where they're from. I think I said Bob and Tushy Bob, probably didn't say Tushy Bob, but Rich Gammas, I don't have your proper email address, I hope you hear this. And who else am I leaving off here? Joel, Ivy, Joel, I said, I don't have your address anymore, it's not coming through. So those are some of the folks that I know listen in on a fairly regular basis. And I mention that because while I was gone these last couple of months, you know, and I'm not in the pulpit, as they say. Of course, we all know that a pulpit is not the big thing you stand in front of. The pulpit is the board you stand on that raises you up a foot or two off the floor. That's the pulpit. We just tend to call these little boxes in front of us pulpits, you know. And I stood behind a pulpit that... Mark, do you remember who they had preaching to she umpteen years ago? And to think I stood in the pulpit that such and such did. That's just man worship, and that's just baloney. It's such a big thing anyway. I could hide behind it in those days. Now, I doubt that I could. What was I going to talk? Here we go. Let's look in our Bibles here. 1 Corinthians 16. I'll show you what I realized that I had while I was gone, as per se, I guess. I don't know. I was here, but I was just tired. I was worthless. We had 2 weeks off for school, which was great. And between Maryland surgery and me not being able to pick up stuff, I finally splurged and bought a long-handled picker-upper. That makes you feel old when you're walking around with people. It's, hey, Joel, you're there. Wow, Joel. That's fantastic because, let me get that dot off. Mark, you can do the dot off, I guess. Joel, I don't have your email address comes back as dead. So if you want to send me your email, if you send it to me now, I'll probably forget it on the internet, on the Pal Talk room. It's fantastic to have you here tonight. Man, I wish I could see your name up there all the time. We get into some interesting stuff here. I'm just showing you some things tonight that has gone through my mind as I haven't been in the pulpit, on the pulpit, behind a podium. There we go. Or in the last years, behind a microphone, underneath the headset, next to a shirt mic, or whatever. It turned out to be just me and God. You know, I don't have anybody to tell anything to. Kids are gone, teachers are gone, staff is gone. My wife, sad to say, is not interested in this stuff yet, and I don't understand why. We could talk about it, but I promised I wouldn't talk about family, so they wouldn't be uptight or whatever. So maybe time will tell as things get more serious. But anyway, I lost Joel already. That's probably why he's there. It back again. Okay, I'll let Mark twiddle with a red dot back and forth. You're probably going to be coming in and out, Joel. I'm hoping that I even sound a little bit more excited and a little bit more energized. And I hope I don't sound like I'm 80 as compared to sounding. I should sound at least 63, but for a while I think I would sound like 80 or 90. I don't know. I'm actually excited about school even. Got some music I want to do with them. And we're getting into the classical era, and I want to talk about that with kids. And I guess it's just good to be feeling better, for now anyway. Okay, stick to the subject here. 1 Corinthians 16, here's what I knew I had while I was not in the office, put it that way. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17. And I kept getting mail from people. Checks always make a guy happy, but just these letters were exciting. Here's the verse 17. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And I just want to put out a thank you to to our web family that not only sent the checks, but sent letters of great encouragement. I've got one here that really did get me moving here. This is from, I didn't say Peter. Sorry, Peter. You're on my list too. Except we don't do email with him. He's in Massachusetts. He writes this letter to me about a week ago, I suppose, with a check for $1 million, I wish. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know this verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Does anybody know where that's at? I'm just trying to think where that's at. Peculiar people zealous of good works. I should recognize that. Let's check it out here. Who can flap that down quicker than I can look it up here? I will type up the word peculiar. And I will just select all. P-E-C-U-L-I-A-R. I'll tell you why I'm doing it this way tonight here. There we go. Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. There we go. I want to make note of that. I should have made note of that earlier. So, from the right place, right? Makes sense. He could have gone to Peter, but that's not the right one. Then he says here, Titus 2. He does say it on here. No, he doesn't. He gave himself for us from all iniquity. These things speak, here we go. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That is Titus. Maybe the whole thing is Titus. Maybe I didn't read that right. As you can tell, I am out of touch with my suaviness. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 15. Well, duh. Yeah. He did, Martin, make note of it. Thank you, Peter. I'm just slow hearing my stuff. Then he says, Pastor, I thank you for your work of faith and your labor of love these past years. I also thank the Lord for the website. It is a wealth of information. I pray that you continue to speak, exhort, and also rebuke with all authority. And since we know our authority is the King James Bible, let no one despise you. Now that was really an encouraging letter to me because it reminded me to quit whining, quit, being too busy or whatever, and to keep this thing rolling. I mean, major disappointments in the last 3-4 months, enough to just knock me down. And I let it knock me down as well as my health was no fun and da-da-da-da. So, look at 1 Corinthians 15. My point is the website family that has kept me going and has brought me back to this thing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we know the work of the Lord is not a job where you get paid to, do the Lord's work kind of a thing. It's just so we're all to be doing that. So there's encouragement to the max. So there I am at home and all the hassles going on and, like I say, all the disappointments that are flying by and the health issues and the whole thing. And it was just basically, me and the Lord, me and the Bible, I should say, look, God and myself, or obviously the risen Savior and myself, which makes it easier if we go to Paul, which we find in the King James Bible, rightly divided. And so there's where your strength comes back to you. But the brethren are still extremely important. You all helped with my financial needs. You all helped with my spiritual uplift. And you all knew I was just worn out and tired and old and bushed from school and the whole deal. And, here you are still back. So that's a lot of rambling. I have all my stuff on my little stash right here. So I couldn't put it all together into a sermon at all. So there's my intro. I'm glad to see you there. One of the things I tried to do these last couple of weeks as I was out there going to the hospital and talking with nurses and doctors and people in stores, shopping stores and all that stuff. I went into Target like a day before Christmas or whatever. My wife was just in the hospital. And every cart, this is after the Target brouhaha, that credit card stuff. People are surprised at that. And been in the return department, been shopping, been doing stuff, been out there quite a bit. And I tried to be, maybe you tried this, you try to be friendly to people, you try to be nice, you try to strike up a conversation or something, and trying to talk to people, and they're just an unhappy world out there. So nobody can say to us, Paul kind of guys, we can talk to these people. We can be nice. We can try to be, but it's very frustrating. Come to the intersection with somebody, well, hell, let you go. And then they drop 4 of their fingers as they drive by. Whatever. So I got some stuff on that. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the deal. If you look at the word quack, Q-U-A-C-K, and I realize that a quack is the sound a duck makes. Well, it's maybe not the sound. It's what they say the sound is for a duck. And we also know that a doctor who is a quack is like the quack I had before this final doctor I finally went to here. The first one was a quack. He, didn't test for half the stuff I wanted him to. And if he had, he probably would have prevented what I have now or have had at the one time. And if you say quacker, because you can't pronounce your R's or something from some foreign country or whatever, that's what they're talking about. But I'm going to use the word quack because on various occasions, mostly in the evenings, Sunday nights, if I could fit it in Wednesday nights, I'll really try hard. I feel bad not having... I thank Mark for being there. He's just a... You go walk these 20-mile races, and you come back dripping in sweat, and you still get the music going, and you get the sermons going, all that stuff. And I'm sure some people get tired of the sermons from the past, but Mark pulls them up anyway, and I'm so glad he does, because there's so many sermons back there that if I would listen to, I would say, boy, that was a good sermon. See, and apparently I don't learn what I preach, because I look at my website and go, boy, who said that? Oh, I said that. Wow, that's amazing. Fantastic stuff. So I would like to think that people that come back this year, 2014, you don't get all disgusted because, oh, there's a sermon of the past. Actually, there's more content in those older sermons. Many of them still have notes available. So if you want to study, there's the stuff to study. And you won't leave, will your radio network? I bet you do. KBLU. Unless we're being on live radio now, worldwide American radio. Oh, I'd love to have a radio show. So KBLU, if you want to contact me, I would love to do a radio blitz somewhere or a blurb or something. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Randy Divided with Paulson. I would love to do something like that. Anyway, you can get my address from the website, phone number from the website, 509-876-1611. If you want to call me, I'd be glad to do a radio program for you. And complete with music, live piano music, of course. So anyway, where was I at? Okay, quack time here. So, I want to try to get all Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights all feel like we did in the olden days, the good old days. So I've got this word quack. Well, KBLU, you're staying with us. Dot M, Mark, in case you want to tell me how to contact them so I can do a radio program. My voice, KBLU, my voice sounds kind of old, sound like I'm in my 60s, but really I'm 35 years old, and I just love to get up there and teach a 15-minute radio program, play a little piano for you, and have a 15, 20-minute, 30-minute thing on the computer. If it's a internet radio, I don't care. Mike Paulson, 509-876-1611, or get the address off the website. Let's get back to the stuff here. And that's the word quack. So this word quack stands for questions, unexpected answers, coffee, and keyboard. Thank you. Just listening used to work for Real Radio, now broadcasting on our website. Oh. So broadcasting, like what we're doing here, broadcasting, you'd have a regular radio station broadcasting. Hello. Are you a rightly divided kind of a guy? You know, Paul only type stuff? Mid-acts, post-acts, pre-acts? Huh. Okay. I better get back to my stuff. Maybe you can contact me and tell me how to get on a radio thing somewhere. That sure sparked me up, too. Anyway, here we go. Back to quack. Questions and unexpected answers with coffee and keyboard. So that's the kind of stuff I want to get started here for. Maybe Sunday nights, maybe Wednesday nights, with Sunday morning being the prepared, thick sermon. Because I want this to be a question and answer. We've done the question and answer time quite a while ago. But if you're anything like me, which I'm sure most of you are, we forget stuff. We forget these things. And you want to ask questions. I've had some questions come across, and I thought, well, there's a good sermon. But they're short sermons. So that's what we're going to do. So I have in front of me here, I got the webcam lit. So if you want to spend the $75 or $60 or whatever it is and get the cam going again, we can drink coffee together. I've learned to drink coffee over the vacation because I need to know how to stay awake. And I've become a coffee connoisseur now. I can tell bad coffee and good coffee. I got spoiled when I went to a Starbucks the other day, and I thought, oh, but this is actually good stuff. Must be the sugar that's in it or something. So I'm a coffee drinker. So there you go. So let's just get up a cup of coffee, you know, and we'll just sit back. You do the webcam if you want. It'll be on video later online. And we're just going to talk about short little subjects that people would write and ask. Now, for example, let's see. I got a stash of stuff I was going to talk about. Here's one. Here's one that... So you got your feet up on your recliner. Maybe you're in your kitchen. In fact, I was going to change that to questions and unexpected answers with coffee in your kitchen. So I don't know. Anyways, quack with Paulson. And I know a lot of guys, all of the non-Paul guys or the loose Paul guys or the gospel guys are all going to say, yeah, he's a quack. He's a quack preacher kind of stuff. Well, I still wish somebody would, and I don't want to do it over the internet. Because it takes too long to type stuff. I so wish somebody would contact me, knock on my door. Let's go to lunch. Let's go someplace. We can't go to lunch in this town. There is no place to have lunch. 240 people out in the middle of 40 degree below zero wind chill, it doesn't lead itself to much socializing. Unless you want to shovel the neighbor's lawn or something here. Okay, here's a question I got quite a while ago. All right. Oh, here's something else I'm thinking. Totally rambling tonight. I might start making some sermons, you know, fresh updated sermons, but just not on Sunday morning and Sunday night or Wednesday night. I still find myself, I'm not going to say intimidated, but it affects what I know I need to teach and preach. If I know some people that are online, and it tends to cause me to not be quite so Ruckmanitish bold. Remember back in the you just say stuff just to burn people. And like he said, if you don't offend five people, you haven't done your job. Well, I don't believe that. That is not what Paul teaches us. We're not to strive with people. We're not to get into the art. They will strive, and they will argue. They will get mad. They will get angry. They will name call in the whole spiel. Not me. But still, I'm thinking, if I got some time between school and the music and all this kind of stuff, maybe I should start whipping up some sermons here. Nobody's listening. It's just me. I'm just going to preach this the way it needs to be preached. And then Mark knows how to do this. I can send it to him, and he can pop it on there for the Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's something I'm seriously considering, by the way. Because some of the questions I get are from the family, our web family. No, not my family. Are you kidding? I wish. From the web family. And if I say something, I'd like to think that we're all tough and strong, but we're not. I know we're not, or some of these people would still be here with us on Pal Talk, or they'd write me on emails or whatever. We're getting hooked like everybody else. We're too busy. I'm too busy to do this. I can't let that happen. You can go to the website. Oh, yeah, go for it. You look at the website there, Kabloo, and there's another separate music website too on there. Take a look, and if you can help me get on the radio somewhere, I guarantee you it wouldn't be the same old stuff that's on the radio for teaching and preaching. Okay, anyway, so here's something I got from somebody that's in the web family. So I feel bad about talking about this because the guy or the lady is going to say, well, gee, excuse me for saying that. I don't want people to feel that way. Okay? Here's one. You know the verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, is that enough of an introduction? We're quacking tonight. We're just going to do little bitty things. Get your coffee up or whatever and just relax. You can type me questions even tonight if you want. And if I don't get to them, I'll just write them down. You can email me questions. Please do. I can come up with my own questions when I see something going on. For example, I like to do a sermon on verses that do not belong in the King James Bible. Okay? I'm bunny trailing here. And what are you talking about? I'm talking about this verse right here. This verse should not be in the Bible. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. I mean, I'm talking King James rightly dividing people. That basic, well, and I'll talk about this more later, but that verse, I don't think anybody pays any attention to that verse. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Then he goes on and he talks about it, da-da-da-da, okay? And this is probably one of my biggest pet peeves for any women that I cared about, my wife or my daughter or some other ladies, young girls or whatever. And you see this world out there, the hugs. I hate the hugging Christians, the huggy people. I despise those that are hugging. That is so wrong. And yet, we got kids active. Here's what started this thing. I did the clock for the girls' basketball game yesterday afternoon. And watching what those girls are doing, watching the girls go and grab the hands of all the coaches as they introduce their names, seeing the hugs afterwards, listening to the watching what kids do at school, and going to church, people that go to church, how you do, Frank, and they give them a little hug. I don't understand that other than what it obviously is. Paulson's kind of a dirty old man or something, you know, whatever. No, that verse right there, I mean, if a man even shakes the woman's hand, maybe this is just me, and I'm probably getting in trouble here, But if I shake a lady's hand, I will think, a lady. You know, female, feminine, soft. Well, not so much anymore, because all these ladies have been brought up, you know, in the cow farms, which is what they do. I mean, girls come out there, help dad in the ranch and all that stuff, whatever. But like you say, I could preach about that for quite a while. Lady, why do we use men curriculum in schools? Why do we not have ladies curriculum in men's? You know, I could get into this big time. Who cares? Nobody is going to deal with this. It's good for man not to touch a woman. A husband to tell his wife, you know, or if you're going to walk up to somebody and they want to hug you, you stop the hug. I know one guy that always did that. He's a doofus now. He's really gone off the deep end. And I know some ladies that would not shake a guy's hand. Because what follows in that verse right there? Don't touch a woman's hand. I'll get back to it here. It's not good. I mean, if you're gonna, but it's not a good idea. Well, why not? Because the next comment is to avoid fornication. You mean to touch a lady's hand, shake her hand, or bump her in her elbow, or write something on her arm, or whatever people do, you know, with the opposite sex, as they say, it leads to fornication. Boom. Jumps the whole Mississippi River, goes right to the other shore in half a verse. But that just does not happen these days. People are touching everybody, the girls in school, the basketball. Boy, I could preach a sermon on girls' sports. But see, if I'm going to do that, I have to just preach that stuff all by myself in my little office, because so many ladies are gonna get offended by it, or so many men are gonna get mad or feel bad because they couldn't dare stop their wife from hugging other people or shaking their hands or whatever. It's a tough deal. So why don't we just take it out of the King James Bible? That's my concept of there must be some other verses, and if you can think of some verses, send them to me. It's not that they should be taken out. It's just that nobody, not even the gospel King James only guys, not even the Baptist Ruckman, especially those guys, Hiles guys, I'm not even sure these days what's even going on with the Hiles Church. It's been so long since I've been there. What's going on? Is Ruckman even still alive? You know, Mickey Carter, all those King James guys, I've come to realize, Matovich, the ones I had before, Matovich, Grace, Modlish, I wish I could remember all the missionaries I know. And you guys remember one time I had a missionary come to spy on me from the Ruckman camp to see if I really, truly was preaching Paul only and all that stuff. In the middle of the night, he left because he could not. I asked him, I didn't know he was a spy, but I showed him all this stuff. And he says, man, that stuff's really good. That makes so much sense. And boom, he was gone in the middle of the night. Remember that guy, Mark? You were probably there for that. Maybe Sam. That guy saw that what I was saying makes 100% totally true. But they can't deal with it. Yeah, well, I can't imagine at his age now. Poor guy. Silly to see people get old and whatever. You get older, you start to recognize what other old people have had to go through. I've got people now that open the doors for me. They walk me from one end of the hospital to the other. Do I look that old? Well, that's up to you to decide, because the cameras are there. You know, whatever. Okay, so anyway, that's something I want to deal with. Sermons like that, I can just preach all by myself, as I would say, God and myself, and my King James Bible. I could even do a radio thing, although the radio thing would be pretty touchy, because that's a pretty tender crowd. They've not heard a Paul-only guy, other than the mid-act guys, probably. Paul concentrates on the walk, and who wants to hear that? Okay, and let's go back to my original one, your 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I hear this so many times, and yet I hear it from the family. Then I can't be so reacty. I can't get all tight and say, now why did you bring that one up? And I got another one for you too here in a minute. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Boy, at this rate, I got tons of material on my desk for the next year. I've been taking a lot of thoughts, not notes, just thought notes here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Come on. This one just amazes me that any King James guy, any Paul guy, would bring this one up. Old Testament, it's not Paul, it's Jewish, back in the days of the Jewishness, even. 2 Chronicles, boy, it sure feels good to feel good. 2 Chronicles 7:14, how are we doing for time? Of course, it could be the fact I put two packages of coffee in my coffee for this one tonight, I don't know. 2 Chronicles 7:14, here it is. If my people, well, that's us Christians, of course, which are called by my name, there we go, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, there's the criteria. Then I will hear, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, we know we're talking Jewish. We know the land is the land of the Jewishness. We know it's about work because they have to actually turn from their wicked ways. None of that is from Paul. None of that's even what Paul teaches. Humble themselves. Well, Paul, if we realize that Paul actually humbled us, because whenever we think we're doing kind of extra good as a Christian, we'll read something that goes, oh, I'm sure bad in that department. Whatever. And Paul isn't out to humble us. He says that. I'm here to help you. I care for you folks. I'm not here to shame you. Because if he shames us, then he humbles us. Paul isn't trying to humble us. What's there to be humbled? I mean, why do you have to even... Christ died not only for us, he fixed us, he spiritually, the operation, took our soul, cleansed it up, keeps it clean, the whole spiel. You've got nothing to do with it. So I guess that should be humbling in itself right there. But Paul will humble you if you realize that. Then to go on to do your walk as a Christian, well, you can't do all that stuff. You can, but you don't want to. You fight your flesh all the time. So humbling, God can humble America in 15 minutes with a good blizzard across the whole. Yeah, you want to be humbled. Walk out to the barn when the weather's like this. 45 degrees below zero wind chill, and it's snowing and blizzard, and the wind is like 30 miles an hour. You better have a rope tied from your house to your barn, or you're not going to make it. And I don't need that. I know where my barn is at. I can hear my horses and cows in there. Yeah, and a lot of these people have died 1 foot from their front step because they tried to walk back and they couldn't find it, got lost in the blizzard, and they died, and they found them frozen maybe 2 feet away from their front door because they couldn't see it. So if the guy would have humbled himself and put up the rope, he'd have been able to find his house and the barn and the whole spiel. Well, that's not how God operates today. God is not the severe God. That's to the Jews, Romans 11:22. So it's the goodness of God. He will teach us stuff here. So we don't need to humble ourselves to please God. And you can pray all you want. God is not going to fix America. Well, why not? Okay. Then you start getting into the Gentile Jewish thing. Then you get into Romans 11:22. That's when God's going to heal, you know, quote unquote, this land. He's going to take what's left of true Christians, and he's going to take them out of here and come back down here and hammer the snot out of them with the tribulation. So to go to 2 Chronicles 7:14 is just wrong. It's a false teaching. You teach it to people because that's how God operated to the Jews. Gentiles lived by conscience, Romans 2. And the Jews lived by obedience to God, and yes, they had to turn from their wicked ways. They had to humble themselves and start doing right. They had to pray and seek His face. Okay, part two of this, how do you seek God's face today? Everybody that prays, are they praying to God? Most people seek God's face today by music, by the way. Music just gets them into the mood, emotional stuff. Okay, here's another one that made me think of here. Here these people are seeking God's face. You seek God's face in your Bible. Well, okay, but there's more to it than that. Yeah, King James Bible. Well, there's still one more step. Rightly divide that King James Bible. If you know what part of that Bible God is speaking to you, you have found His face. Congratulations. Da-da-da-da. But if you read that King James Bible, perfect Bible, Genesis 1:1 to ending 9, last out, the whole thing, then yeah, you're looking at His face. But if you want to hear what He says to you, you really want His face, you've got to rightly divide this thing. So these guys are out there pushing this King James Bible, and they still don't tell people how to rightly divide that thing. They go to John, and there's a lot of facts in there we need to know. But that stuff was written to the Jews. Paul's books are written to the Gentiles. Romans 11:22, when the people don't want to hear the goodness of God through Paul, He's the only one that preaches goodness to God, goodness of God. When the Gentiles are done with that, God's done with them. Romans 11:22. I would love to put that on the radio. Kabloo, I would love to do that. So, that's how you see God's face. Here's another illustration along the same line here. I don't have it up here. Somebody sent to me just the other day. There's some big hoopla down in Texas I thought I had that with me here. He's a governor. I think he's some kind of a high mucky muck in the state down there. He's telling everybody to get back to the Bible. And he's gonna uplift the Bible or something like that. I sure thought I copied that, but of course I didn't. Okay, well that sounds good, doesn't it? So my friend, a family member here, King James Bible Rightly Divided, you know, www.scatteredchristians.org, that's who we all are. We're a big church, we just never come together at the same time. And here's this governor who's pushing the Bible. Obviously people are getting upset down there. But what Bible is he pushing? He's pushing the New King James Bible. Well, why get excited about that? Well, at least he's talking about the Bible. That's not what Paul's talking about, by the way, in Corinthians. I think it's in Corinthians. Okay, and that ties hand in hand with, so this guy down in Texas, he's putting forth a New King James Bible. So what's excited about that? That is not the Word of God. It is not due to the circumcision operation. The Spirit of God is not behind a New King James Bible. It's not there. So what are you coming up with? You're pushing people towards the Antichrist. That's Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. So, but he's going to have to be teaching something about Jesus, or they won't think he's Jesus. So, get him from the Bible. New King James. Come on, that's a pretty good one. It just takes out the these and thous and yeas and yips. But let's tie that in together with the duck dynasty. There we go. Duck dynasty. Here this guy makes the big news, you know. And I think the Duck Dynasty guys are funny as all get out. The kids here like them. And over Christmas, we sang some of the songs with the Duck Dynasty backup stuff. And I was able to tell the kids some of the things. Well, you know, that's not really true about such and such. Oh, I didn't know that. And I'm really treading on thin ice on that thing because I don't want to get the parents all upset, about the baby and when he was born. The kids told me that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I thought that was pretty cool. So when some of the kids said that, then I kind of opened the door a little bit. Well, not only did you know that, did you know there weren't even three wise men and he wasn't a baby when people, all that kind of stuff, you know. But I had to be careful. They bring it up, then I can jump in. But even then, I got to be careful nowadays. Okay, so anyway, the Duck Dynasty crowd, everybody loves them. They're just major hit. And all of a sudden, the daddy duck, you know, says something that's true but not true. Yes, the homosexuality thing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's wrong. It's just, you know. But the way he presented it was as a sin as such, and if you don't stop sinning and da-da-da-da. So what's he getting into? He's teaching the Old Testament style. Well, where do you think these beards came from? These guys believe that man isn't supposed to shave his face. Well, where do you get that from? You get that from the Old Testament. All that ties in with the Gospels. So this Jesus that Phil the Duck Man is putting forth is actually a false Jesus. But he's Jesus still. He's still a false Jesus. So what are we going to see? We're going to see people, you know, fight for the Ten Commandments. Even though there's only nine for the Gentiles. You're going to have people fighting for the abortion, which brings all the denominations together. Oh, so wonderful. You're going to have people be fighting for the Bible now. We need permission to follow the Bible in our schools and uplift it in our government and the whole thing. What are they putting forward? They're not. None of them are putting together the King James Bible Rightly Divided. None, zero, nada. So we see this. What's going on? Man, I see the push for Christianity coming back. Ah, the Muslims are going to get put in their place and the Christians are going to come back and storm the world and, yeah, they're going to conquer. And one of these days, relax, I'm too old for that anymore. Hang on. One of these days, the Jesus is going to come out of the sky and he's going to be there to conquer. And if you look at Revelation 19, he's not coming back to conquer. Revelation 6, the Antichrist is coming back to conquer. So here we are, King James only, right and divide and look into Paul, the only apostle, exactly what that Bible tells us to do. And if you show it to people, they go, man, never heard of that. They didn't hear from them again because they think you're mad, just like Festus said about Paul. And I like to tell people, you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose, right? Oh, yeah, sure he rose. Well, then why don't you follow what he taught when he rose? Why are you following the preachers that preach what he preached to the Jews before he died? Before he died, it wasn't even the New Testament yet. Hebrews chapter 9. See, Kabloo, I would love to have a radio program. I would start from scratch. Oh, I would love to do that. Talk about getting my blood going again. Anyway, you can do a lot from a wheelchair. Anyway, so we got this guy that writes about the God, but not this guy. He's a good man, and I need to preach sermons, not thinking who wrote whatever. Not I don't want to offend them, don't want to push them away. I would like them to say sometime, man, I never thought of it that way. Score one for Paul. Well, why don't you say Jesus Christ? Because Paul is actually the apostle we're supposed to follow. Do you pray to Paul? No, I don't pray to Paul. Do you listen to Paul? Yeah, he's the one that's writing in here. Those are his words. Yeah, but Jesus told him to write that stuff. So, you know, you do the same thing with your 12 apostles in the Gospels. You follow those guys. And now we're supposed to just follow one, Paul, and that's it. And if a person truly does that, he will shock everybody and anybody around his side. I was going to do a sermon on follow Paul, lose your friends, lose your family, lose your job, lose your health, lose your finances, lose everything you got. Because they're going to think you're nuts, and you have to do it carefully. You have to just live it. And the whole thing. There's a whole bunch of stuff Paul teaches how to do that. We don't have to lose our jobs. We don't have to lose our families. But when we first get into it, at least my generation, we had the Ruckman thing. So we got into something. We just turned around and boomed it back to somebody else. And they're going, remember I said 20-some years ago, maybe 30 by now, somebody told me that we're supposed to follow Paul's teachings, not Jesus' teachings to the Jews. I remember hearing that in the hallway when I was polishing a hallway floor in a school. And I thought, that is stupid. And here I am, 20-some years later, preaching the very thing. So that person that would have told me that wouldn't have just slammed me with it and would have showed me some stuff, because I prided myself in my Bible knowledge about music and things. It could have happened. But boy, I know I would have lost my job then. I know I would have, you know. It doesn't do any good to go back in your life and try to figure out where you could have changed it, because you have no idea what bridges we would have had after that. This is what happened. This is what happened. Now I'm talking like an old guy. Okay. Anyway, so I got another letter from somebody else, and here's what this one says. I've been listening to your messages and things for a little bit. See, there's people that turn to this website. I got to remind myself, a Nazarene minister. Oh, I'd love to sit and talk with you. We have such a good time. I would so love to talk to you sometime. And anyway, I've been listening to your messages and things for a little bit, and I got a question. Are Peter and the other apostles accursed because they preached a different gospel, according to Paul in Galatians? That's his question. So I thought for a second, why would you even come up with that question? Okay, so what's the answer for something like that? Well, you know, I see a sermon. But I know from experience, even if I give this guy the answer, it's not gonna convince him over to follow Paul only. They say they follow Paul. I knew the Nazarene guy wouldn't last, that's too bad. People say they follow. We follow Paul. Pastor preaches about Paul. Yeah, maybe a couple of verses here and there. But see, Paul only, one of our commands. Another commandment is Paul's ways. That's his walk. That's his ways in every church is to be taught. And that's what he gave us Timothy for. How many pastors dare preach and teach Timothy? Now, for the sake of you that have been with me for all these years, but the Kaboo guy doesn't know this for the radio network, I did a series on Timothy and Titus, 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, and I called it my suicide series, And yes, I nearly went nuts because I knew what was going on in the homes of these families. And I knew those dads were sitting up to saying amen. And I knew the girls and the kids were being lied to. And you know the girls and the boys, when they grow up, are not going to believe what mom and dad are amening to because they see it at home. And I was just, it was just tweaking my brain. I mean, this is what happens when you care for people. So you try to help them. You try to get in there. And everyone, now I can honestly say 100% of the people I try to help have jumped off the bridge where the water is, not the shore. And that just gets me. But anyway, that's just where it's at. So now I need to preach this stuff, not knowing who listens, I guess. So the question, well, why wouldn't Peter be and the other apostles be accursed? Because they preached a different gospel according to Paul in Galatians. Did you really read Galatians that close? The answer is as obvious as it can be, but I'll save that for an official quack night. Okay, so that's coming up. Of course, you guys figure out the answers and write to me, too. Get your Bible open. I'll come up with questions for you, too. So check your emails again. We'll get that back up here. I am so far behind on emails. It's just unreal. And I know, Sam, you clobbered me many, many, many months ago that you said, why should people write to you if you don't write back to them or write to them? And I understand 100%, and I still feel bad about that. But now the hard thing is I've got my computer at school. Listen, I got all the emails and the whole spiel. So I'm not here that often at night anymore. I just get tired. I was getting tired of being here. I was going home and being tired of being at home. I'd come back here and get tired of being at school. It was like I'm just wiping worn out here. But I have been energized with a fixed back. If I can get my neck fixed, I will wait till summer to do that. If I can, it's really been quite a bit painful, but at least I can walk and sit and talk to people. So we're testing for a couple other things that if they are, then I got to learn how to give myself a shot. I don't think that's what it is yet. I think it was one of my medications, but I quit taking it about three days ago. Now I already feel better. And the doctor said, well, we could always, if you don't want to do the apnea thing, we could always get in. He looked at my throat and says, wow, haven't you ever had anything taken out of there? I said, no. He said, we could get inside that throat and take a bunch of stuff out of there, and I bet you could breathe better. Then he suggested going up the nose. I said, I don't think so. Because I think you guys take an ice auger, turn it upside down, and just ram that thing up my nose and just start scraping all the junk that's in there. So I'm not into that one. But I'll be wearing these breathing strips, possibly in public if I can get over it. I got my mustache back, so maybe if I can put my breathing thing over my nose, they'll understand why, and I'll look like, you know, whatever. Because you get to be 63, you got to quit caring what you look like, I guarantee. So we got time for another one here. What else did I have to say? Just some quick thoughts here. Well, can I save this stuff later here? Mid-Act sneakers. I got some other music I'm going to have Mark play too here. It won't be marching band all the time. It won't be the church hymns. I got some other stuff that's just beautiful music. That's why it says quack. Questions and unexpected answers. With coffee and keyboard. And I'll have him play some Brahms. We'll have some other stuff. We'll give you a little culture as well. And it's good stuff. I got to do a sermon on music. I need to do one sermon on music. I've got sermon after sermon after sermon on music, but I don't have just one that kind of summarizes the whole spiel. So maybe I'll be doing that here pretty soon, and you'll understand more why our music selection is going to be rather unique. So you'll actually want to start coming a half hour early to listen to the music more than some of you do. I know back in Tushy, when people would come in late, it's because they didn't want to sing. And sometimes I would do the sermon right away, make them walk in during the sermon, make them feel horrible. I'm still looking at... How could you follow Paul with an NIV or a modern Bible? That's an interesting thought. Well, can you still follow Paul? Well, listen, your NIV Bible does not tell you to follow Paul. Your NIV or any other Bible does not tell you to rightly divide the Word of God. There is no other Bible out there that tells you that God is going to preserve His Word. No other. Well, of course, that's why they think what they think. Here we go. They're told to imitate Paul. I know you know that, but... I lost kabloo. That's too bad. Anyway, your NIV Bible doesn't even tell you to follow Paul. But if you choose to follow Paul, then I'll show you how to do it with an NIV. Here verses are. Here's a review quiz for you. What are Paul's purposes? What was Paul's ministry to be? Then one of the sermons I wrote for myself was called Growing Up, because that's what Paul is all about. Is not to be like a child. Be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. They lie in wait to deceive. That's what we're up against. And no, they may be, how are they deceiving people? With a New King James Bible, with 2 Chronicles, 7:14, with supporting a governor who puts forth a New King James Bible? That's how they do this stuff. Okay, more notes on heaviness and sorrow and the tears that Paul had, a pastor like, we have the same thing. Then I started off with one is how to talk to people. You know, they get upset. They think we're nuts. Is it something we're doing differently? Is it something we're doing wrong? Why don't people want what Paul teaches? Well, their pastor's not going to tell them. Preachers seem to make people mad anymore. Oh, do you know there's a whole new string of preachers out these days? They've been around, but I watch people worship these preachers, and they're called. See. It's a five-letter word. They are called coaches today. I'm watching these coaches just chew these kids up and down in front of the whole gymnasium full of people. And the kids are like drooling. Oh, more, more. What can I do? How do I be more aggressive so I can cause my husband misery when I marry him? And the parents are back there yelling at their kids, come on. Cut the corner. Come on, move. Get going. You know, and the coaches, they sit down and just jump on them. Go to a practice. And those kids run over to stand by the coach and they stand still. And the coach just chews individual ones out. Now, what were you doing standing around over there? Those are the preachers of today. So one time, just before school was out, I tried to teach my band kids the way a coach directs them. And all these guys are in girls sports and guys sports, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I just jumped on him. So what do you mean playing an F sharp? You know darn well that's an F natural. Can't you read that stuff? Have you not been practicing? What's going on? So I have him play scales up and down, five laps. Let's do five scales. Right now, go. We play them, and they were just like getting really, what is going on? And I stopped. I said, listen, I just talked to you like your coach did yesterday. Why do you put up that with him? I've got 40-some years of experience here with music. And you think I'm just nutting a fruitcake, and this coach guy can get away with it. And I want to say to the principal, why do you let these coaches talk to the kids that way, but we as teachers can't talk to them like that? So I'm ready for some battles at school, by the way. But those are the new people. Man, you just don't question your coach. They're the ones. And the reason I got thinking about that is because the town that we are sharing schools with here, they have decided to open up Sunday for sports activities. Okay, I realize that Paul, the Sabbath is no longer an issue. Hey, basketball when you want. Whatever, that's not the problem. But that's still holy to most people out here. And you know, whenever there's an open second, sports jump in. Blah, 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 you know. And everybody's going to think, Paul, so you don't like sports. I think sports are fine, I guess. You know, girls don't need to be out there doing the baseball, basketball stuff. They just don't. It's just wrong. All the things that the Bible says and the modesty and the aggression that they're taught. And no wonder marriages don't work. No wonder women are marrying women. They don't even marry. They just do their thing together. It's just terrible what's going on. I know it's not going to change anything. This is where the world is headed. I know. So do we just sit back and keep our mouth shut? Well, I almost stood around and told those guys, the parents behind me at the scorer's table yesterday, the only words you guys know is travel, picking on the refs. So So that comes from how to talk to people. That's something I like to talk about here. Update my email list. Duck Dynasty, we talked about that. I'm going through my notes. Duck Dynasty, follow Paul. These are things I'm just... Music. Knowledge. They're taking knowledge out of the schools and taking knowledge out of the churches and people. What's the loss? We talked about that. I need to talk about it some more. I just jotted all sorts of stuff here. So, that should do it here. If you truly believe in the King James Bible, if you truly believe in that thing, you know what's next, right? Well, you're going to say rapture, but I'm probably going to do a sermon, so I don't believe in the rapture anymore. I believe in a cutting. I believe in a cutting off. Now, let me dig this up here. Where are Romans? Okay, Romans 11. Because if I remember correctly, and I'm winging on my memory, which I know is a dangerous thing. Romans chapter 11, 22 says, "The Gentiles, thou shalt also be cut off." Thou means singular, meaning the Gentile nation. Okay, shall be cut off. That's the rapture. So instead of using the word rapture, which is not in here, and the people like to say, well, you know, the rapture is not a word in the Bible. Well, you're right. So why do we call it that? Why do we call it the Bible? It's the Scriptures. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's God's Word, God's words. So instead of calling this thing the rapture, no, I don't believe in the rapture. I believe in the cutoff, being cut off. Well, if I'm correct, I think I said this already. If I'm correct, I think that the NIV or something says deals with castration. I remember Git preached that a long time ago. Which makes me ask the question, Gipper, if you read that, how did you miss that whole verse right there? Falling away. There we go. I think the cutoff will bring up some conversation. It's the Gentile nation will be cut off from the what? From the goodness of God. Maybe I'll do that one for Wednesday night. You guys remember when my sermons were an hour to hour and a half long? Remember those days, Mark and Sam? I can barely muster up an hour or even a half hour. But the way I feel tonight, if this is the way it's going to be this next rest of this year, I'm getting excited. And what do you think about being told to grow up? Who wants to be told to grow up when you're a kid? But that's exactly what we need to be told. Well, do you remember when I did that one sermon with all the circles? The one I do now, the rightly dividing one, it's got all the circles of the King's Old Testament. Then you got to kind of copy that off of Ruckman's thing, but then we made it into a rightly divided one. I think that one was I wasn't even doing rightly dividing then. And that was an hour and 45 minutes. I remember when we got done and the people were shocked the time it was. They didn't think about the clock whatsoever. It was that interesting to them. Now, you know, Mark, I know, Mark, you want me to do an audio to that Greater Commission thing. And I know I need to. Maybe I can do one. I can do it in a classroom and I could use the whiteboard and just draw it live again. And we'll just record it with audio and the whole spiel. Maybe we can do it on Robert E. Lee's birthday, which is the same as Martin Luther King's birthday. I got stuff I still got to do, and one of my comments I studied over this time was, what do I have left I want to do that I haven't done? And some interesting comments are read about growing up, too, you know, about dreams and all that stuff here. For example, here's this one statement. We have some, okay, here. What do we got here? We do not stop playing because we are old. We grow old because we stop playing. So, I should change that. I do not stop preaching and teaching because I'm old. I get old because I've stopped preaching and teaching. So, that's what I got to work on here. Elderly do not have regrets for what they did, but for what they did not do. So, I got to get my stuff opened up and get rolling again. I do feel good about tonight, but it went too long. So it's good to see you folks there. I hope the radio guy calls me back and shows me how to get a radio spot going somewhere, even if it's just on the internet. Mark, where is Patience? Yeah, well, I can't get into that now. She's, you know, off of this guy. She's trying to do the right thing, but she can't. Just too much pressure to get out of the house. He's a nice guy. And see, they haven't done anything, from what I understand. And she's probably right. I'm probably a believer, I guess. But it just looks terrible. And she's not going down the right road. And it's really sad. She knows better, but I think her dad had just pushed her over the edge. And she just needs to get out of there. Because he's got a guy waiting for her, last I heard. So, Jerry's ever done anything good for her. Why would he start now? Anyway, that's it in the summary there. So, I'm kind of staying out of it now. The little contact I had is over with now. She can do her thing, whatever. If she ever pops back up on here with us, we know that she will have dumped the guy. Or he will have dumped her. Who knows? So, folks, there you go. It's going to be quack time with Paulson. I've made a few changes on the web. No, I just made a few additions to the website. I'm not done yet. I got to do some more on there. And we don't have school tomorrow because it's too cold. So that's nice. Let me check my phone here and see if I can get the weather temperature as we depart for the evening here. Temperature is, it's getting warmer. At least it hasn't updated. It's back up to 13 below. Wind chill is 35 below. No, wind chill is 44 below. There we go. It's updated now. Wind is 30, it's 13 below. No, now it's 17 below. It's updating. 17 below. Wind chill 42 below zero. So, that's where we're coming from here. Good night, folks. Nice to see you there. Let's get everybody back. We'll get moving. Thanks again to Mark for all that he's done. And Radical, come on back. I didn't see Edmagent come in. So, we'll come back. We'll be here live Wednesday night. What time? It's been so long. It's my 6 o'clock, Central 6 o'clock. 7 Eastern, so it would be 5, what's the next one over? Mountain Time, and then it would be 4, 6 Central, that's me, 5 Mountain, 4 West Coast Pacific. And come on back, everybody. We'll see you then. Oh, yeah, I can't forget the music. We're going to be doing some different things. Yeah, come on back half hour before, and we'll do our best to get something there for you. And I'll teach you about it, too, as we get going. So good night, folks. Thank you, Mark.